28-hour show page.
I'll put it right there.
Yeah.
Right on.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Do we have an update, Jay, of where we are in terms of the money?
Money.
Money.
I love money.
Hey, Sky's not here to defend herself.
Gimme.
My name's Sky and I'm greedy.
Hey.
That's a little much, Sean.
Hey.
Jeez.
I mean, she's going to come back and people are going to tell her what you just said, Sean.
Holy
you know that.
Snikers. And
you're screwed.
And now it's time for a Broadway production. I love me some money. I love some money.
Money.
You guys are all
going to
be busted.
Money shower all over my body.
Give me some money. I love the money. It's green and made of paper. I love it so much.
Hey.
Smell it.
What?
Smell that green money falling down.
Boo, rub yourself in fives.
Yes.
It's an aphrodisiac.
It is not.
You're right, 20s.
Cover me in hundreds, baby.
It's a good show.
You guys,
I didn't see that.
So far, every song, it.
That's right. Got another show at 10. We're going to watch Titanic tonight.
Titanic.
It's got that guy in it, you know, that plays the captain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, actually, you are.
Tom DiSpigliogolo.
Can you call your friend Leo tell him we're doing this?
DiCaprio, yeah, my friend. No, you know, I think that he's busy tonight.
Is that right? Oh, really? He's busy tonight.
Interesting.
What is he doing?
What's that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ashley met Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, we're really good friends now.
One night at a nightclub in Las Vegas. And ever since then, she kind of feels that they've been friends. Hey, P1 Smokey's calling in. What's going on, dude?
Well, I just came from my barracks in the 22 area.
Sorry I called you dude. Sorry about that.
That's fine.
It happens.
No, I'm a Marine that lives in the 22 area. Place is smoky. You can't even see anything.
What does that mean, the 22 area?
It's, we split the Camp Pendleton up in the 22 area, 13 area, all kind of areas.
What does that mean, 22 area, 13 area?
The closest part to Oceanside.
Okay. What does that mean, the part to Oceanside? What does that mean? Closest part of what?
That's how we refer to them, as areas. Instead of like giving them names like cities, we give them areas.
You give what areas? I am so confused. I really am. You give what areas?
Parts of the Camp Pendleton.
Oh, man, that, like, made it make sense right then when you said that. I was like, okay, I get what you're talking about. I didn't get it.
I'm sorry.
Now I get it.
Yeah. No, you can see the fires coming over the hill. So we haven't been evacuated yet, but we're just waiting on word to come down to us to move out.
Dude. Well, good luck.
Can they have you guys help in any way? Can they have the Marine Corps help in any way?
Well, we don't really do anything. It's because they got the Coast Guard out there. Green and water, but we can't really do anything. I mean, sandbags, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can do.
Wow. All right. Hey, listen, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, guys. Rough.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I have to give some love to P1 Corman.
Yeah.
Have you seen those things he made?
Dude, they're amazing.
That's crazy, huh?
He made these
figurines?
Paper figurines of all the show members.
He did?
Have you seen those, Sean?
No.
Go look at it.
You fold them into
what?
Like little figurines of us, but they're like the Mikey Show.
Whatever. That's crazy, man.
They're of the Mikey Show.
Yeah. He was telling me that he wants to be, you're going to be able to like download them and make them for yourself off like P1 site, I think, or something.
Wow.
I don't know. Corman, call in and talk about your thing.
It's pretty cool.
It's crazy.
He wanted to give them to me outside, but I didn't want to take them because I didn't want to, like, lose them, you know?
Yeah.
And they're cool, man.
They're really nice. They're cool. He's going to put them on the website. Mikey Show.
Hey, it's Penguin.
Hi, Penguin.
I just wanted to wish you guys a happy halfway point.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, it's 8 o'clock.
It's officially 8 o'clock. Booyah. I got an ID.
And who goes to dynamite?
We're halfway through it.
Thank you.
You're listening to the 28-Hour Mikey Show, brought to you by Johnsonville Brats on KIOZ, San Diego's Rock 105.3.
The following takes place between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m.
The word of the hour is some.
I hope you're getting these words. I hope you are getting these words, because these words, what they are going to mean to you, if you're able to get all the words together, string them all together, and give us the whole 28-word sentence tomorrow morning at 10, then you will win a $1,000 gas card.
Oh.
$1,000.
Oh, that will come in handy.
Yeah.
Little
yeah,
bit.
Definitely. What is that? Where is that coming from?
What is going on?
Ashley?
Ashley?
Do you know where that reverb is coming from? Hello? Hello?
Rob, we're having a crazy reverb.
Hello? 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 I'll find it. Hello? 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 Hello?
Hello?
It's even happening when my mic's off.
Is the phone up?
Is your hair right now?
Yeah, but it has been up.
It's the ghost again.
Oh, no.
Hello? 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 It was you, Sean.
It was me?
Yeah. Oh. It was your computer.
Oh, I know why.
Ghost. Sean is the ghost.
You got it?
No. Goodbye for news.
Oh, I feel so much better now.
Oh, that's weird. Oh, I want to put on some jammers.
Oh, the jamkins are
you
nice.
You got your big talker now, buddy.
I know it, man. Yeah, it's time to do this thing up. Yeah, so I basically the idea with this was that I just want to be able to share my faith in a way that I never have, and I just wanted to be able to explain a little bit about the biggest part of my life, because we got the I have this radio show, and it doesn't really fit for me to do this when we're on the morning show, and the reason is because it's the morning show is about something completely different. It's about having a good time, and it's about, a bunch of friends getting together and just joking around. And the 28-hour show is unconventional. The fact that we're on for 28 hours and that we don't play any music, we don't play any commercials, is completely unconventional. And so that's why I thought, man, what could I share that's really different? That's really what I have to offer to the audience, is me just being really honest and open about who I am and talking about my life and my insecurities and the things that affect me in my life. And this is the biggest area in my life, and I thought, I just want to talk about it and be able to tell people about it. And one of the things that even made me think about it was we were talking about something a while back, and Sky said, we were talking about something that was from the Bible, and Sky goes, "Who is that?" And I was like, and Eddie goes, "You don't know who that is?" And she goes, "No." And it occurred to me, like, well, yeah, I mean, like, not a lot of people, not everybody knows mm-hmm. about stuff like that. And if for no other reason, it could serve to just be an educational thing where you hear it and you'll get some information. And whether or not that information is meaningful to you is totally and completely up to you. I called into a Christian radio show about a week ago because I was upset with them.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was upset with them.
What was that about?
I really liked the show. I really like the show. And one of the things that they do, I was telling Sean about them, that they kind of remind me of, I don't know what other way to put it than Christian Shock.
Yeah. Okay.
And the reason I say that is because the guy that runs the show is a young guy. And, so he uses a lot of the word dude. And he's a young guy and definitely has a lot of love in his heart for God and everything. And what they do, and they run this show kind of like a morning show. They got sound effects and they got stuff going on kind of like in a similar way to what we do. But one of the things that they do is that they will go to like a mall or whatever, and they'll ask people, "Hey, you want to go on the radio and talk about God?" And if the person says, "Yeah," they go on the radio. Okay, well, So in that respect, it's fair. You know, it's not like they're doing anything unfair to the person. They ask them, hey, are you cool talking about God? And a lot of times the people are like, yeah, they'll go on. And they tell them the concept of salvation. The thing that I had a problem with, and I listened to it for a long time, and Rebecca heard me come home and complain about it about a billion times. And I finally said, I'm calling. So I called, and the guy said, you know what? Call back tomorrow right before the show starts. I'll put you on the air. And I thought in my head, oh, I can't do that because I have my own radio show. And then I was like, what do I care? I'm doing it. So I called him, and I went on the air. And what I said to the guy was that I thought it was cool and everything, what they did. And I knew that everything that they were saying was truth. I knew that what they were saying was truth. But what I didn't care for was, Sky, do you know what the word grace means? Do you know what that, in the context of religion, what the word grace means?
No, I know it's something you say before you grub.
Yeah, yeah, that is one. Okay. That is definitely one way that you would use the term.
That's all I know.
Robin!
But the other, the term grace, in whenever you hear that word in a religious context, what it means is unearned forgiveness. Grace is the concept of unearned forgiveness. Right. And What I was hearing in the message was a lot of what they call law. I was hearing plenty of law, but I wasn't hearing a lot of grace. Law is the Ten Commandments. Don't kill. Don't worship other idols. Don't, be good to your parents. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Number five, don't do this, dude. Mm-hmm. Don't do that, dude. Those are the Ten Commandments. And what I was hearing was, I was hearing plenty of law and not enough grace. But I'll explain what all that means, because that must sound very confusing right now. So here's what it means. I'm a Christian, and what it means to be a Christian is I believe that Jesus Christ is my God, my Lord, my Savior, and that without him, I'm up the creek without a paddle. This is what I mean by that. The Bible's broken up into two major sections. You got the New Testament and you got the Old Testament. So if anybody's ever talking about the Bible, you got to know there's the New Testament and there's the Old Testament. The New Testament is everything that happened before Jesus was born. That's the old days. The New Testament.
And that's what, like, Jewish people follow, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And the New Testament is everything that happened from his birth on.
And Christians and Catholics, they, like, follow both? Like, they read both, Jewish people only read the first one?
They only read the first one.
Only believe in, okay.
And as far as, and I got to say this before we get going. Mm-hmm. I got to say this. Because I was talking to a friend of mine that's also, a believer. I was talking to him about this, and I was saying, I'm going to do this. And I said, hey, man, I don't really know that much, but I really want to share what I do know. And he said, dude, this guy's going to seminary, which is college, to become like a pastor, And he said, dude, you're never going to really know it all. In fact, it's always a journey. I asked Miles about it. I told Miles I was going to do it. And he left me a voicemail, and he said, if you don't know the answers to the questions, say you don't know. Mm-hmm. And I might not know. He said, your message should just be that you have faith, you're growing in it. The answers are in the Bible. You just haven't got to them yet, which I can tell you in so many cases for me is exactly what it was. I hadn't read it. I've read a lot of it now. And so I've had a lot of questions answered that I didn't know the answers to before. And now I know the answers because I read it. And in fact, there's been a million times where Rebecca and I'd be having a conversation. We'd be going, oh man, I wonder if blah, 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 blah. And she goes, I don't know. And we kind of discuss it back and forth. And about 4 months later, I'd go, babe, remember how we were talking about that thing? Check this out. And the answer, now I'd have the answer. So before we get going, there may be something that you ask that I don't know, but I'll tell you, I don't know.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I don't know.
Yeah, you can respect that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So Bible's broken up into two parts, the Old Testament, the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Jewish people believe in the Old Testament, and Christians believe in both. Both of them make sense.
Okay.
And both of them tell part of the whole story. In the Old Testament, a guy named Moses gave us this thing called the Ten Commandments. And those are the things I was telling you about, right?
The rules.
The rules. Okay.
Know the rules.
Know the rules. And what God said about those things is he said, you have to follow these Ten Commandments. And if you do not follow these Ten Commandments, then you're going to go to hell.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's real heavy. Real heavy duty stuff. And so, if you look at those Ten Commandments, they're pretty heavy duty. They're very heavy duty things. And it is impossible for me to be able to follow those Ten Commandments. So the New Testament is the story of this man, Jesus Christ, who was born. And he says to everybody, I am God's son. He performs a series of miracles while he's here. He makes blind people see. He brought a guy back to life. He did a series of miracles. And this whole time he's telling people, I am the Son of God. Have you ever heard that term, the Lamb of God? Have you ever heard that term, Lamb of God?
It's like a band or something.
Well, it is a band.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. It is a band. But that term actually came from this biblical thing, the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the idea. Back in the old days, they had those Ten Commandments. Everybody had to follow those Ten Commandments. You had to do it, and everybody was trying real hard to follow those Ten Commandments and make sure that they were right. And if they were messing up, what they would do is they would sacrifice animals. They would burn incense. They would do stuff like that to try to get right with God. They were trying to make right with him.
Mm-hmm.
If they messed up, the way to get right was to sacrifice animals and to burn the incense. What God did with Christ was he sends his son, and he's going to offer his son as this ultimate sacrifice. He's going to be this ultimate sacrifice. And by making that sacrifice, it was going to erase everybody's sin. If I commit a crime, I'm guilty of the crime. I have to face a judge. The judge says to me, you're guilty, and he gives me a sentence. The thing with Christ is that you can be relieved of that sentence if you put your trust and belief in that man and who he said he was. The deal is, though, this is something that I've just been reading about recently. Not everybody is going to hear that message. This was a hard part for me. This was a really hard part for me. You may be hearing my voice right now, and you may be hearing this, and maybe it has an impact on you today. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it never does. But one of the what they call parables. Jesus used to tell parables, and parables were like they were like analogies. He would make these analogies. He would call them parables. Mm-hmm. And what a parable was this little story that he would tell, and it was like a little analogy to give you an idea of what he was talking about. So he gave this analogy of, it was like throwing seed. You'd throw these seeds out, and some of the seeds would hit rocky soil, and they wouldn't grow. Some of the seeds would hit real fresh soil, and they would grow into something, into a beautiful plant. And some of the seeds would hit, and they would do kind of well. They would take little roots, but as soon as the hot sun hit them for a little while, mm-hmm. they would die off. The analogy is that the rocky soil, that's the seed being thrown, and the rocky soil means, okay, heard it. It doesn't mean anything to me. Some of them, they hear it, and they go, wow, that really means something to me. I'm all in for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But then when trials and tribulations and stuff like that come, not so much. And then some people, it hits them, and it takes deep roots, and it grows, and it becomes something. But not everybody. It's not going to happen with everybody. And that's that thing about faith. Faith. Let me just this, a second on faith. Faith is belief plus action. If you have faith and no action, all you have is belief. I'll give you an example. Let's say I need an operation. And so I go to a doctor and I go, yeah, this doctor looks pretty good. I'm going to believe that that guy went to medical school. I don't know that he went to medical school, but in my head, I'm going to go, man, I think I'm going to believe that this guy went to medical school. I wasn't there to witness it. I didn't witness him going to classes and taking this medical classes and getting his medical degree. But I do believe that he went to medical school. If I lay down on that operating table, I've now put my belief and I've added to it action. Now I have faith. Now I actually have faith that that dude went to medical school and that when he operates on me, it's all going to be good. Mm-hmm. If I had the belief that he went to medical school, but I never got on the table, like let's say I go, oh, yeah, totally, man. I think that guy, I think he's got his medicine degree and he's got his, PhD, whatever. I ain't getting on that table. But hey, man, if anybody wants to, go ahead. I think he probably did.
Yeah.
I'm not putting any action to it. Then I don't have any faith. I have belief. So that's the deal with faith.
It's interesting. I never knew that.
The basic concept of this whole deal, though, what Christians believe is that this guy, Jesus Christ, was the Son of God and that he died in this really awful, horrible way for us, for anybody that's willing to go, that's what I believe you did. I believe you did that for me. I believe that that was done for me so that I wouldn't have to pay that awful penalty. And that if that is not the belief, then you have to stand before God guilty of the charges. And you have to be accountable for them.
See, like, I wonder how that would go down. Like, if I were to die and stand before him and, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess no one could answer this. But I wonder, like, what would he say to me? Okay, so why didn't you accept me as your Lord and Savior? And I'd be like, well, I don't know. I was trying to figure it out. But I'm a good person. You know, I feel like I lead a good life. I try and help people and do good things. Like, really? You're going to be mad at me?
Let me talk to you about that, okay. About the good person thing.
Okay.
Because, listen, Sky, you hear us joke around a lot on the air about Sky. My wife has heard the following words come out of my mouth more times than she could probably count, and that is, I love her. About Sky, I love her. I do. I do.
She is a good person.
Duh.
Here's the deal. There is a way that we define good.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very earthly way.
Yeah.
Now, you know that my beliefs, like the Bible for me is like an owner's manual. I think of it like an owner's manual. The Bible is 66 separate little books. It is written by 40 different people. And it is in whole inspired by God. In other words, it's written by human beings. But God was breathing through him to write the stuff down. So whenever you're reading anything from that Bible, it was written by a human being, inspired by God. What it says in the New Testament, in a book written by a guy named Paul who hated Christians, hated them, used to tear them out of their house, used to be okay with them getting stoned to death, hated Christians. And was converted to a Christian. And God said to him, I'm going to use you. And so he wrote many of the books in the New Testament. This guy, Paul, says, none of us are good. Not one of us. Not one among us is good. Not one. Not me, not you, not any of us are good. The reason that we're not good is because those 10 commandments are what make us not good. Have you ever lied? How many times do you think you've lied, Sky?
I don't know. I mean, I couldn't even attempt to put a number on that thing.
Just lie.
What can you call?
Seven, Mike. Sometimes.
There you go.
Perfect.
So what do you call a person that lies?
A liar.
Yeah, a liar.
How many times have you stole something?
One time, but my mom made me return it. It was bubble gum.
You did a lot better than I did because I stole a lot. Man,
did
I used
you?
To steal from Circle K. I didn't tell you about that.
Circle K.
Me and Isaac Lopez.
No. Damn, Isaac.
Dude, I was so guilty about it. Like, I never told you how I used to almost, I freaked out every day that the cops were coming. And I finally got the nerve to go to my mom. I was crying. I was like, I stole stuff like 8 years ago.
Oh,
you don't remember that?
No way.
I never said that on the air?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Oh, man, I was a thief.
Whoa.
So what do they call you when you steal stuff? When I was a little kid, I used to steal from Circle K when I was five. What do they call that when you steal stuff?
A thief.
You're a thief.
Stealer.
Sticky fingers.
Have you ever looked at somebody with lust in your heart? Or you look at them and you're lusting for them. You're thinking about sex.
Mm-hmm.
According to Christ, that makes you an adulterer. Me too. I've done it. Trust me. Those things to us are not much, but to God, they are capital crimes. They're capital crimes. That's what those Ten Commandments are about. And that's what I mean and that's what Paul meant when he said, none of us are good. None of us are good.
So you, you know, you like apologize to God, right, on like a daily basis about the things you, and then he forgives you because you've accepted him into your heart, and then you get into heaven.
Yep.
So why?
No, wait. Now that's not how I get into heaven.
Okay. Yeah. But those, like, your slate is wiped clean once you ask for forgiveness, right? For those specific things.
Each day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I go to.
You hit on something good. You hit on something good. Because let me tell you, I want to tell you what it is to be saved.
Okay.
So that there's no doubt in anybody's mind what it means to be saved. What it means to be saved, this is everybody listening right now. If anybody's moved by what I'm saying at all, they can do this. And from this day forward, you will be moving on a journey towards being saved and could be in heaven one day standing next to kings. Because what we have on earth right now and what we're living on earth right now is a grain of sand dropped on a beach. That beach is eternity. This, what we're living right now, it's a grain of sand. It's so small. Please believe that what I'm saying to you is the truth, because I'm telling you with every ounce of my being, with every ounce of my being, that this is the truth. What it is to be saved is to go, God, I am guilty. I'm a sinner. I broke those laws, those rules that you had for me. I broke them. I break them. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. That's the first thing. The second thing is to say, will you please forgive me of that stuff? Can you forgive me of all that stuff I'm guilty of? And when you do, he does. When you ask for forgiveness for all those things that you've done, it's done. He tells us in there, it's done. It's forgiven. Third, you repent. Now, let me explain that process and what that means.
Yeah,
repentance.
I've heard that word, but I don't really know what it means.
Repentance means, and when I first say it, you're going to go, what? How do you do that? Repentance is turning from the sin. Now, hang on. I know. You're like, why do you do that? You do that. We can't on our own. Have you guys seen changes in me over the last 4 years?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm incapable of those changes. There is no way in the world I could have made those changes on my own. But what I did was, the day that I said it to him that I wanted to turn from those sins, the day that I said it to him, I meant it. I didn't know how to go about doing it. And I can tell you the next day I was back in it, man. I was drunk. I was drinking, throwing up, going back in, drinking again, smoking, premarital sex, everything, all the bad stuff. I mean, after I had done this, I was like, I want to turn from my sins, but I wasn't strong enough to be able to do it. I was still all up in my sin. it's a, the Holy Spirit, I'll get there. I'll get there. But the Holy Spirit, just hold on to this because I'll get to it and explain. But the Holy Spirit got inside my guts and inside me, and he started making these things where I was just like, it was almost like, it was almost like I was eating apple pie, and then in the middle of eating apple pie, I put mouthwash in my mouth, and I was like, ugh, ugh. Things just didn't taste the same.
Yeah.
Things didn't feel the same. And it was just a change that I wasn't consciously going, oh, I'm going to be a holy guy. It wasn't that. It was just this thing that was happening and moving inside of me. The Holy Spirit. Let me explain. That's a big one. My dad. Okay, I'm not done. Wait a minute. I got to finish the saving part.
Yeah, and I still have a question about this stuff.
Let me give you the saving part.
Okay.
So you first say, I'm guilty, God. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. Will you please forgive me of that? Can you forgive me of that stuff? And third, I want to turn from it. I want to repent. I'm going to repent. I'm going to stop doing it. And you trying to stop doing it. You're trying. And will you give me your son? Will you give me Jesus Christ? And I want him to come in here. Will Jesus Christ come in my heart and in my life and do stuff and move in me and save me? Because without him, I'm up the creek without a paddle. Will he come in here and do some stuff in me and save me from all that stuff? When you do that and you make that commitment and you mean it in your heart, stuff starts to happen. And you are on this process. You're in this process that just it starts and it doesn't stop. From the moment that you do that, it doesn't stop. It just keeps going. Sky.
Okay. So what I don't get is, yeah, we can't be perfect. We can't all not go against the Ten Commandments. But at the same time, you know, I kind of believe you can repent on your own. Like, you can try your best to turn away from those things and to not lie and steal and cheat and lust and, you know, whatever. So if I'm one of those people who tries not to do that, I'm not saying I am, because obviously, you know, I could do
it. But you'd have to not do it.
Yeah.
You couldn't just try. You'd have to be able to not do it.
Well, see, that's the thing, because I feel like, I mean, you don't not do things.
No way, right.
But at the same time, you know, you repent and you ask for forgiveness on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So, you know, because to me, like, God...
Wait. Let's go back, though. Okay. You get the difference between the very first time. The first time of, like, surrender.
Yeah.
The first time of, like, okay, I give. And I'm a sinner. It's an act. There's like this thing going on, like an action going on. Instead of like, okay, you're
like, why can't he be cool with me just doing it on my own?
What do you mean?
You know, not breaking the rules on my own.
He would be, but we can't. We're not. I mean, if you could do that,
but if I try my best. And then I meet him, you know, in the afterlife, and I go, hey, bro, I tried my best. I asked for your forgiveness right now. Still, I'm getting shut out?
Here's what he would say to you, I think.
Okay.
And I asked him to help me out with this, so I hope he's helping.
Okay.
I think he would say, I wanted you to trust my son. Let me tell you.
But, I mean, that's the deal. Like, that's what I have to do. Like, I just have to say a couple words, and that makes me, like...
You can't just say it. You gotta want it. You gotta want it and mean it. You can't just say it. If you just say the words, it's just words. You gotta want it in there. But in order to want it... See, and this is the thing I called those Christian guys about.
All right.
They were hammering people with... You're guilty of a crime, and if you don't have someone to cover that bill, you're going to jail. You need someone to cover that bill. You can't cover that bill. If we all go out to dinner tonight, let's say we go, okay, 28-hour show's over, it's become the 17-hour show. We're all going out to dinner. We all go out to dinner. We're having a great time. Let's say we go to a fancy place like Donovan's and we order a big, gigantic meal. And we get appetizers and we get the entree and we get desserts and we drink a lot of alcohol and everything. And at the end of the night, the bill comes and we all go, oh, man, we reach into our pockets. We got like $57 between 12 of us or something, right? Mm. And we're like, we do not have the money to pay for this. Guy comes over and he says, hey, listen, don't worry about it. The tab's been paid. The guy that just walked out of here, he paid it for you. There is a catch, though. You do have to believe in your heart that he did that. As long as you do, you're good to go. You guys can split. If not, I'm afraid we got to put you guys in jail because you owe us some money. It's a very similar concept. I'll give you another analogy. The other analogy would be what God actually says, which is you broke the law. You broke the law, and the penalty of breaking that law is death. Hell. Eternal torment. The Bible says is a lake of fire. Everybody that believes that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior's name is written down in something called the Book of Life. And one day, that book's going to be open. If your name is in that book, then you have been written into the Book of Life, and you'll spend the rest of your life in heaven. If it's not written in there, then you spend the rest of your life in eternal torment, separate from God, which is a heartbreaking thing. I wish I could wave a magic wand and that everybody could just go, I get it. I get it. I love it. I'm in. I'm in. But that's not going to happen unless the person hearing it feels, okay, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And I don't have the money to cover it. I can't afford it. Christ was the way out. He was the ultimate sacrifice. There was no more. The reason they called him the Lamb of God is because in the old days when they used to sacrifice a lamb, he was the Lamb of God. He was God's sacrifice. Hmm. If you believed on him, then you have eternal salvation. But it's like that thing that I started out with saying, man, it is it's something that you are either gonna hear or not. Concept of the Holy Spirit. It's not gonna go very long. I'm almost done. I thought we were talking about it for an hour, but I don't think we are. I
still have questions, okay, but I feel like I'm like beating a dead horse with questions.
Is it more about but what if I say to God? Because he's real clear about what the rules are. He's not going to negotiate.
Well, and see, that's a trip for me because, and I hope I don't offend you by saying this, but I feel like some of the rules are egotistical, but I feel like God shouldn't be egotistical. God wouldn't be egotistical. Like, I have to be like, oh, I love you. Okay, I bow down to you. You're the best. I can't live a good life and that be enough. Like, I got to be like, okay, yay, God, you know, and does that mean other people, like, their religions aren't right? Like, I feel like to have to accept him to not be tortured is, like, egotistical. Like, him being like, hey, look at me, I'm the best, you know? In my mind, I go, no, God is, like, perfect. God, you know, my dream God is perfect. He doesn't have ego, you know? He can see what's inside of you, and he can see that it's good, and he's not going to punish that.
Mm-hmm. And I totally understand that. I totally understand that because, man, I've heard my own brother has said it. And the Bible covers it. The Bible's deal with that is that what we do is we want to have a God of our own making. We want to have a God that fits into the things that make sense for us because it feels right.
Yeah.
It feels right and it makes sense. Man, I'll tell you, what I found out when I started really digging in and reading that Bible was that our God was a rough God, man.
Yeah.
He was wrathful. He was wrathful. Heavy. He was heavy duty. So much so that when the Bible talks about something having a reverent fear of God, I have it. I have a fear of him. I have a love for him, but I also have a fear of him, like a father. Let me explain what I mean by that. As a parent, you cannot allow your kids to do whatever they want. They're not allowed to do whatever they want. And they can't say, but you know, Dad, if you were a good dad, you would treat me like this. Because he says, hey, I got rules for you. I got rules, and here's the rules. And they're the house rules. And I'm sorry if you feel I'm being unfair with you, but I'm telling you, I love you. Let me explain the extent of the love. When my son was born, I experienced a level of love that I've never had before. You guys have heard me talk about how I have the thing about the little bones in your ears,
yeah,
right?
And
I feel like this hormone got released that had never been released in my body, and it was so intense sometimes. Guys, I would start crying, man. I would just start crying because it was so intense I wanted to turn it down.
Yeah.
And I believe that the reason that he put that there is, and there's no biblical basis for this. This is me just talking in a romantic way. But I believe that the reason that he put it there is so that if we had to, man, we would give our life for that kid. That we were just born with something in us that we would give our life for that kid. That if somebody walked up to me when I was walking with Jake and they had a gun and they said, all right, you decide right now, you or him. I don't have to think about it for a second. Shoot me. I don't have to think about it. Now, I can tell you that there is nothing in the world that I wouldn't do for my son. I would sacrifice myself in a heartbeat for my son, but I could never sacrifice my son. And that's what he did for us. I could never sacrifice my son. And he loved us so much that he did. He sacrificed his son for us. Before his son, he was angry. The Jews were his chosen people, God's chosen people. He loved and still does, loved the Jews.
And what does that mean, chosen people? Does that mean that everybody else is junk at that time?
It did.
Kind of, yeah.
It totally meant that.
Okay.
Everybody else was called a Gentile, still is. Everybody else is called a Gentile.
Yeah.
And in Old Testament times, yeah, didn't mean a thing.
Hmm.
And what happened was, is that the Jews continually broke the rules. He continued to give them rules and they continued to break them. They would worship other gods. He would tell them to do something, they wouldn't do it. They would worship other gods. And he said, I am going to give my kingdom, not just to you guys now, to everybody. Everybody that believes in my son is now going to be able to be a part of my kingdom. And that happened with the death and resurrection of Christ. Everything for a Christian hinges on that resurrection, on him being raised from the dead.
And Jewish people believe that he was just like a normal dude.
They believe that he was an incredible prophet, that he was an incredible prophet. Incredible prophet, but that he was not the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
which would make him a liar and a crazy person.
Delusional.
For him to go around saying, I am God here on earth. I am God's son. I'm God here on earth. I am the vine and you're the branches. And everything hinges on me. I asked my dad, Dad, who's God? My dad said, he's a creator of everything. He's a creator of the universe. I said, that's right. I said, who's Jesus? He said, that's his son, the guy that walked here on earth. I said, yep. And who's the Holy Spirit? My dad goes, That one was one that I've only started to figure out recently. It used to be in the Old Testament, in the old days, that God would give his spirit. Just like in scary movies, you know how there's ghosts and spirits and stuff like that? Same thing, only this one was holy. And he used to give it to whoever he wanted. I give it to you, I give it to you, I give it to you. And when it would happen, they'd get lit up, man. They'd get the Holy Spirit's in them and they're just on fire. When Christ was about to be crucified, night before having the Last Supper, he says, I got to leave you guys. He's talking to his 12 disciples. He says, I got to leave you guys, but I'm going to leave you with a comforter. I'm going to leave you with my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit serves a few purposes. One, he comforts you. So when you are in incredible grief in your life, that Holy Spirit, you can draw upon that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost, to do stuff inside you, to comfort you, to calm you down, to make you peaceful. And the other thing that that Holy Spirit does is what you guys have seen happen with me, the changes. Mm-hmm. That wasn't Mike. That wasn't me. That was that spirit possessing me and doing stuff inside me and changing me. That was that Holy Spirit making things that used to be very attractive, not attractive anymore or not as attractive anymore. Because you guys know, man, I'm still going. I'm still figuring it out. You know, I am as guilty. I'm as guilty as anybody else. I am no. There is nothing holy about this guy. And so that's what that Holy Spirit is. That's the one that gets in there and starts doing all the work. But Sky, I get it. I get where you're coming from with that. My brother had that same deal, and it was from reading his word that God is not sometimes what we think and what we imagine in our heads that he is. He is loving. In fact, there's a passage in the Bible that says God is love. So there's no doubt about it. God is loving. But God was also a pretty bad hombre.
Well, yeah, I remember, I'll always remember this, and I don't know why it stuck with me so much, but you gave me this book, you know, for like skeptics, just to kind of try and explore some things and answer some questions. And I remember in one part they were talking about, you know, how people try and make sense out of the things that God does. And since we're people and he's God, like we can't make sense of it because we don't think the way he does. And they gave the analogy of a bear in the woods that gets stuck in a trap. And the hunter comes up, or, you know, or just somebody comes up and wants to help the bear and save the bear and open the trap. Mm-hmm. But the bear's just lashing out at the person because the bear doesn't understand that the person's just trying to help them. All they know is that they're feeling pain and they're lashing out.
Yeah.
And so the analogy is, you know, the person in this analogy is God and the bear is people. And we can't even attempt to understand what he's thinking. And that's why they say, you know, you can't really question it.
I have prayed about things sometimes and it doesn't happen and I go, but that's a good thing. How could you not let that happen? That's a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. You guys know that Jake was experiencing some developmental issues. Mm-hmm. That was hard, man. I was like, what? Why? Yep. Why? My friend of mine, Chris, is telling me this story. He says, my three-year-old son, Barrick, was going out to, he wanted to go out to the backyard, and he just got these new slippers, and I forget what kind of slippers they were, but he just got these new slippers, and he wanted to go outside, and he's like, and he tells Barrick, you're not going outside with those. He's 3 years old. He melts down, like biggest, oh. Says he's on the floor, yeah. Arms spread out, legs, screaming, crying, like freaking out. And he tells him, he says, you're not going to win this one, buddy. You're not going outside. And he's screaming and crying and freaking out. In his three-year-old mind, it's the end of the world. But his dad is able to see a much bigger picture than his three-year-old mind. There's a much bigger picture. And I can tell you that my experience with Jake, I've already experienced stuff like that about, hey, buddy, I know you can't have any more of those little graham cracker pieces.
Oh, they're so good, though.
I know, but you can't just yet. Gotta stop. You can't just keep eating them. And he freaks out. And it's because he's just a little guy. And we, a lot of times, we're just little guys. We don't get that big picture. We don't get what he gets. But he isn't always what we think he is. The answers are all in that book. They're all in that book. I have one that changed my life. It's just a translation. It's the same Bible. It's all the same Bible. It's just translations.
Yeah, because that's like, if I were to ever start to attempt to look into this, I would need something like that. Because to me, you know, the Bible is like Shakespeare. Mm. Like, you don't know what the heck they're saying.
Yes. See, and let me tell you, like, if you go stay at a hotel and they got a Bible in the drawer, you try to read that thing, I'm telling you, it's thee and thou and that, and I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. Like, honestly, I literally, check this out. Okay, so I got this program on my computer. It's got all these different translations. So I can do, like, side-by-side translations. This is the one that they have in the hotel. It's called the King James Version. Try to make some sense of this. I'm just going to read you something here.
Oh, gosh.
And you try to tell me if you understand what this means. Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that... Oh, wait. I'm going to go to something old. I'm going to give you some Old Testament stuff and see if what you make of this. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this site, Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. And it came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month on the first day of the month that Moses, listen,
hey,
it gets into this, all this stuff. Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand
James.
It. Yeah. I don't get it. But the one that I use...
Yeah.
It's called the Living Bible, and that's exactly what it was. It literally breathed life into me because I got it for the first time in my life. It was talking like a normal person. Let me read you something. This is one of my favorite things from it. This is from mine, the green. I call it the Green Bible because it's green. It's got this green thing on it. Anyway, it's green in color.
Okay.
So this to me, this hit me like a bolt of lightning. Since Christ suffered and underwent pain, which he did, he was crucified on a cross. Since Christ suffered and underwent pain, you must have the same attitude he did. You must be ready to suffer too. For remember, when your body suffers, sin loses its power. And you won't be spending the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. You've had enough in the past of evil things the godless enjoy. Sex, sin, lust, getting drunk, wild parties, drinking bouts, the worship of idols, and terrible sins. Of course, your former friends will be very surprised when you don't eagerly join them anymore in the wicked games they do. And they'll laugh at you in contempt and scorn. But just remember that they must face the judge of all living and dead. They will be punished for the way that they have lived. It's easy to understand. That hit me like, that was like, when I read that, that was like a tanker truck hitting me. Because it might as well have said, hey, Mike, comma.
Yeah. You listening, Mike?
Oh, I'm telling you, man. So anyway, I want to say, Sky, I love you so much, and you're so rad. You are so cool, dude. You're so cool.
Thank you. Yeah, and I love you, and I respect what you're bringing to the table here, you know, because I know, first of all, to a lot of people, it's like, thank you, Mike, for saying this. And then to people like me, who are still kind of figuring it out, you know, it's, you know, I always love to hear what you're thinking and how it makes you feel. And, you know, hopefully someday I'll find something that, you know, I'll feel that passionate about,
mm-hmm,
too.
And I appreciate you and I respect you. And I'm just so stoked that this for me is like, man, it's my biggest passion. I do a Bible study at my house, and I got a bunch of guys in it, and it's supposed to go from 6:30 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And about 8:30 every Tuesday night, I apologize to them for talking so much, because I just go and go and go and go. A lot of people are calling in.
Cool.
Now, I don't know if I will be able to answer all of these questions for you, but I will give it a shot. P1 Jordan.
Yo.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
What's up, dude?
I want to give it, I mean, I am a complete P1, but I want to say something. just for, I mean, I think you're a Christian, so I want to say it. Romans 10:9. P1s need to hear it. You believe? I mean, do you think that I'm saying the truth?
Yeah, dude, that if you say the words, that you're saved.
If you say it, if you confess the Lord your God and you believe in your heart, that you'll be saved.
If you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your own heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved.
Yeah, that's all I want P1s to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That if you believe it and you say it, you're golden.
Now, does that mean that you can just go back to sinning and doing your thing and you just do your thing and whatever? Now you can go out and start having sex with a bunch of chicks and do some heroin and... Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely not.
Why not? Why? Wait. Why not? You've said it with your mouth and you've done it. How come you can't just go on and do whatever you want now?
Because you have to practice your belief. You can't just say, hey, I believe this, but I want to do, blah, 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 blah. You can't just say that. You want to practice your belief.
Belief plus action equals faith.
Exactly. You
faith without action equals belief.
Yeah. You want to do what you're saying.
Awesome.
Because if you told me, even though you're Mikey from the Mikey Show, if you told me, hey, I think that this is awesome, but you did something else, I would not believe you.
Yeah.
You have to practice what you say. I mean, you have to go for what you believe.
I appreciate it, dude. Thank you for calling. We got a theologian on the line now. Theologian is somebody that studies. And theology is, the study of this stuff that I'm talking about. And he wants to set the record straight. And I'm thankful for it. If I said something that wasn't right, man, I want to know if I said something that wasn't right.
Mikey, I love you. Sky, I love you. You guys have been really entertaining. Your questions are all, like, really, really good. Sky, you're on point tonight. All your questions, every good-thinking Christian has to ask those questions.
Thank
sooner
you.
Or later. So those are great points. But, Mikey, I love you, man, and I respect your faith. I'm a Christian like you, maybe a little bit of a different Christian. I'm a Gnostic Christian. But I think there was a little bit of...
Say that again, brother, because I didn't catch it.
I'm a good Christian. Maybe we're not the same kind of Christian. I consider myself a Gnostic Christian. And it's really
that's a word I can't understand. Did you say Gnostic?
G-N-O-S-T-I-C, Gnostic.
Okay, I haven't heard of it. I don't...
Just G-N-O-S-T-I-C.
Okay.
But the thing is, as a Christian studying theology, which was my passion in school, it's really difficult to be a Christian and study theology because you get all kinds of erroneous information. And there's three points that I wanted to bring up just for the sake of just discussion, because this is healthy stuff and this is really good stuff. And I haven't called in before because, you know, this subject requires a little bit of time, so why not use the 28-hour show for it?
Right.
So here's my thing. Historically, the way the Bible was written, now you'll hear all kinds of different things about this and whether it was inspired or not. I do believe it was inspired. But here's the thing. The New Testament was transcribed through oral tradition. It was handed down from a few generations through stories from villages, handed down until a final written document was made. And this happened around the 4th century in the Council of Nicaea, which is now Istanbul. A group of very, very faithful Christians got together to debate what they finally believed. Because the emperor at that time...
Let me hit pause just for a second, bro. Let me hit pause. Let me hit pause just for a second. I have total and complete respect for everything you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that I'm having a little trouble is because we're getting it. I'm trying to keep it real simple.
Okay.
And I would be happy to sit down and talk with you about this stuff.
Yeah, but for me, he like lost.
Yeah,
me. He named,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
The city, and I was out.
So I didn't mean to lose you.
Yeah, yeah. So I tell you what. Yeah. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to get you my personal email, and you and I can talk.
Sure.
But I want to keep it real simple for on the air. I think that you and I can both agree on what that dude that just called said about the Romans, about Romans 10:7. I think we could both agree on that, right, brother?
Yeah, but how about this one? This is the tricky one. If you go to Matthew chapter 19, There's a guy who walks up to Jesus and he says, how can I enter the kingdom of heaven and how can I be good? And I'm sure you remember this, where Jesus says, there's only one that is good, and that is my Father in heaven. That is God. If you want to be good, sell all your belongings and follow the commandments.
All right, that's in, okay, I understand right? that to be in that? The, I understand that to be in Luke. I understand that to be in the book.
Chapter 19, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I understand that to be in the book of Luke, but go ahead.
But wouldn't, and again, I'm a Christian, but theology kind of, you know,